Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights, brought to you by Lumina Health Partners, a national healthcare consulting firm focused on improving the strategic, financial, and operational performance of provider organizations. On this program, we will explore trends and share valuable insights on how health systems and medical groups can optimize their performance to meet the demands of this increasingly complex healthcare environment and shift to transform the delivery of care. Value-Based Care Insights is hosted by Daniel Marino, Managing Partner of Lumina Health Partners. Daniel has been in the industry for over 3 decades and specializes in shaping strategic initiatives for organizations in areas such as population health, clinical integration, physician alignment, information technology, and data analytics. For additional insights, visit luminahp.com and sign up for our newsletter. Dan, over to you.
Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights. I am your host, Daniel Marino. Over the last 30, maybe 40 years, there's been this growing trend of physicians to become employed by hospitals, by health systems. And over the last, maybe 15, 20 years, that trend has changed. In some cases, there's been more momentum towards employment. Some there's been less. But one thing that hasn't changed is how the integration of healthcare systems with their medical group and their medical group strategy, how that is an important component on serving care in the community. Well, recently, there's been a great article that has been published by HFMA, Healthcare Financial Management Association, in the March 2024 edition of HFM. And the article is entitled, A 45-Year Case Study of One IDN Successful Evolution. And the article speaks to how this medical group strategy, this comprehensive ambulatory care network was put in place 45 years ago, which at that time was really revolutionary, if you think about it, but how it was put in place to create a tremendous amount of value for a hospital that was really, it's in the south side of Chicago. It's an underserved community. How it not only supported the patients in the community, but how it created a tremendous amount of value for that organization. And then later, the organization is Ingalls Memorial Hospital. It was later purchased and aligned with University of Chicago. That 45 years and the activity that has occurred over that 45 years has created a tremendous amount of value for University of Chicago Medicine and the health system as a whole. So I'm really excited today to have the president of University of Chicago Medicine, Ingalls Memorial Hospital, Michael Antonides, with us today, as well as Jeff Peters. Jeff is a national expert in medical group strategy and has helped numerous organizations across the country in their financial performance. Michael, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Great article, Jeff. And I know you did this with Tom Jackowitz, who is the president of University of Chicago Health System. Michael, you were a recipient of a lot of the opportunities associated with Ingalls. Jeff, maybe we can start with you. Thinking back, when you kicked off this strategy, this was really new, right? It was really revolutionary. It was a whole new idea. What were some of the challenges that you had as you were thinking about launching this integrated network strategy with either the leaders at that time or even the physicians that were very involved in the organization?
Yeah. So back then, Ingalls, as you referred to, was geographically disadvantaged, a high percentage of government pay, no pay, and 99% of their revenue was based at the hospital in this challenging market. So the hospital's viability depended upon solidifying its market share to the east, growing it to the south, and most importantly, increasing its market share in the western portion of the suburbs, where it only had 1% market share, but was in the most attractive market that the hospital needed to penetrate to change its payer mix. So the whole strategy was, how can we broaden the service area? And by broadening the service area, how could we change the mix? So that's why we initially put in freestanding emergency rooms, use those to generate referrals to primary care as they got busier specialists, which supported ancillaries and Ingalls same day surgery. The right. other thing, yes.
So that strategy, like you said, was really new at the time because, you know, way back when, you know, everybody went to the hospital for the care. There was very few facilities that were standalone, that were out in the community, that really served the community. So, you know, Michael, let me turn to you real quick. When you think about that strategy, I mean, today, everybody does it, right? There's a lot of satellite facilities, but speak to the importance of that strategy as a referral mechanism, maybe as a feeder mechanism, but probably more importantly, to connect the care with the community, if you will.
Absolutely. I want to take a step back. I joined the industry in the 90s, right? Early 90s. So what Jeff just shared, this is groundbreaking, pioneering type of work. Like no right. one was even thinking about this, with the exception of physician offices that were basically, you know, out in the community, serving the communities across the country. Hospitals were the only destination. No one had outpatient, that term outpatient or ambulatory almost was non-existent. Even when I joined the industry in the early 90s, you know, now you're fast forwarding 30, 40 years later. And, you know, we coined terms like consumerism. I remember when I first joined the industry, I used the word customer to one of the supervisors that I was talking to. I was being introduced to the industry. And I was basically told, you don't use that word here.
Right. Yes.
We don't use customer. We use patient.
New concept. Right. Yeah. Nobody really thought patients as consumers. Their patients
That's exactly
are patients.
Right. That's exactly right. So what Jeff really started as just really, you know, a foresight as a strategist is you bring the care closer to those who need it.
Right.
And you begin to introduce services that don't really have to be at the hospital. Now, a lot has evolved since then, and the ability to have EMRs has really allowed us to grow more. That this was all done manually back then. So
sure.
it was really
right,
tough
right,
to
right.
integrate. But you bring the care to the patient, you're introducing a level of consumerism. This is 1970s. That term probably didn't even exist. and here we are at Ingalls Memorial in the Southland of Chicago, bringing the care closer to the folks so they don't have to drive 5 miles. They can drive a quarter mile.
Right. Right. The care is really in their community. It's built around convenience. And frankly, you're really meeting the needs of the patients. So Jeff, you know, the article I thought was great. And in the article, you talk about six strategic phases. Three of them really caught my attention. The one was creating a primary base. Second was expanding the feeder programs. And then the other one that caught my attention was expanding horizontally. Maybe we can dive into that a little bit.
Primary care is the foundation which supports the rest of the healthcare delivery system. As your primary care volume grows, you're generating more referrals to specialists, you're generating more profitable surgeries. And in the case of the University of Chicago Medicine, it's that primary care base, as you expand it and as it gets larger, that actually give out the tertiary and quaternary referrals that actually support the entire mothership or the entire enterprise. So organizations that are successful, even academic world destination health centers, as they pay attention to their primary care base, the entire enterprise does better. And I think that's what we recognized. And you want to make it convenient for patients to access a primary care physician, put them close to where they live, make it easy for them to park, make it easy for them to get in. And the other thing you need to do is you need to make sure that the patient satisfaction with their primary care visit is at the 90th percentile or above.
Right. So it's really a broad-based primary care strategy that's integrated into this overarching ambulatory integrated network strategy, right? So you really need to think about how that primary care component not only supports the needs of the patients, but then really creates that integrated approach almost as a feeder structure into the rest of the system. So, you know, Michael, the second point is that Jeff mentions and Mr. Jackowitz mentions in the article was the strategy was used to expand feeder programs, right? So as Jeff is talking about that, I was thinking through, well, primary care at that point probably was the referral into some specialty services, which were done at the hospital. But now those specialty services, again, has even evolved to where it's in the community, right? With ASCs and so forth. How has that feeder program philosophy evolved over time to the point where it's really been something of value for Ingalls Memorial Hospital today?
Yeah, it's a great point to make. I think the word foundation that Jeff used is the right word. Think about the evolution of healthcare, right? Go back to the 70s or 80s or 90s, if you can go back that far. And when did people go to the doctor? When they had something wrong with them, right? Yeah. So you introduce primary care local and you begin the evolution to come to us before you get sick, right? The entire pendulum has shifted to how do we keep you healthy as opposed to come to us when you're sick and we do a major surgery or something. Everything changed. So primary care was not just evolutionary in the terms of, you know, providing access. It also changed the mindset.
It did. Yeah.
How we view healthcare. It's healthcare, not after you're sick. Get it before. It became preventative care. The term, I think, Jeff, you probably recall the term gatekeepers, right? The primary care physicians were called gatekeepers out in the back in the 80s or 90s. You know, they really helped navigate the entire healthcare experience of any patient.
Sure.
So it is and continues to be today foundational.
Yeah.
Because when there's something wrong with you, you know, if you have the sniffles, you know, you don't need to go see a specialist. You just need to see a primary care, you know, clinician to be able to hopefully tackle it early on.
But that support, I think, has expanded through primary care, but also that connectivity to the other areas, whether it be the specialty providers or even some of the ancillary services, has also been a critical component, I think, of where Ingalls has gone and creating that feeder structure. If you're just tuning in, I am Daniel Marino. You're listening to Value-Based Care Insights. I'm talking today with Michael Antonotis, Jeff Peters, and we are talking about kind of reviewing a great article that was in HFM, Healthcare Financial Management Association's journal, entitled The Integrated Delivery Network, a 45-year case study of a medical group strategy. Jeff, let's talk for a few minutes about I think the fourth area that it's at least it's number four in the article, it's expand horizontally. And I think as I read that, to me, it just logically makes sense that you create a horizontal based model that truly integrates the care of the patient at different care settings, right? So, you know, and you reference the family care center, how you move forward with putting in place many different specialties to create that horizontal model. Talk a little bit about what you went through at the time, but how critical that is to even the care that's being delivered today.
Yeah, I think what you want to do in any healthcare enterprise is you want to expand your market share. And as you look at expanding your market share, you not only have to put your services out into a community that you may not have a large market share with, but you also want to develop those services and make them more responsive to the patient's needs, to the consumer's needs for convenience and high quality. So we view that was really important to sort of create a hub and spoke strategy where we pushed it out. I think the other thing in the back of our minds was we knew long term that Ingalls could not survive as a community hospital just on its own. So we not only wanted to make the hospital successful, we wanted to make it attractive to world-class facilities like the University of Chicago, so they would be interested in potentially acquiring or merging with us. So we weren't just supporting the system, we were also had a vision of we wanted to be a critical component of a world-class healthcare delivery system like the University of Chicago Medicine.
Yeah, that's great. And that, you know, and I would think for University of Chicago Medicine, that horizontal-based approach is just so critical to not only how they're serving the patients of the Chicago metropolitan area, but nationally. I mean, you get folks that come in all over the place. So that ability to connect is just incredible. So gentlemen, I'm going to throw this one out to both of you and give you a chance to kind of respond to this. Many healthcare organizations over the years create their medical group strategy, and they think about different elements of that strategy on either how to expand or recruit physicians or grow different service lines. And there's obviously a cost, right? There's an investment that goes into it. And sometimes it's hard to identify that return. With what was included in the article and the impact over these 45 years, clearly that return is there and it's quite significant. So, you know, Jeff, maybe we can start with you. As you think about these strategies, many organizations, many leaders sometimes pull the plug on these strategies because the right return isn't there. So how do you begin to measure that over time to ensure that you stay true to the strategy?
Yeah, I think you're right, Dan. Nationally, what we're seeing is a loss on an employed physician of between $150,000 and $200,000. But you've got to look in a higher portion of that loss is within primary care. So the way the strategy works that gives you the return that you need to justify the investment is you've got to create the foundation of primary care, but you've got to surround them with profitable specialists that generate referrals and use high margin services like CT, MRI, surgery, infusion centers. So the way that it works is using those primary care losses to support profitable specialists and profitable ancillaries. And that's where you get returns that actually can exceed a 20% annual return on your investment.
Right. So really focusing, being true to it, but then focusing on those key service lines that can be built and built upon in the strategy to create that ongoing return. So Michael, when you think about then for Ingalls, I mean, to me, it's quite significant, right? I mean, when you think about the amount of cases and how you've built in that over time, how's the strategy really, you know, supported where you wanted to go, either maybe with additional cases or how you continue to see the ROI paying dividends today?
Well, obviously the payer mix does help a little bit when you have better payer mix. You know, reimbursement's a whole other conversation.
We can spend
multiple, I'm sure you have already, multiple podcasts on reimbursements and all the challenges that we're facing. It's a business decision, right? So how do you make this work? You know, even though there is an investment that goes in for physicians, just because their reimbursement, that's not good enough to help to support or even, you know, break even with the cost of having the physician and having the infrastructure around them, is having the right services that will, one, benefit the community. Because if you put a service that nobody needs, then you're not going to get a return. So you got to connect what makes sense from your business and what your capacity and capabilities are and what the community needs. You got to tie the two together, which is what the FCCs have done, is connecting the services that are important to the community. And then you cannot forget the basics, right? One is where you put it. Location is critical. If you hide it somewhere, nobody's going to find it. So even in this day and age with, you know, Google Maps and all, you got to have a good location, make it easy for people to get in, be very accessible, you know, more hours when they can, make it convenient for the patients. And then you got to have also patients. You're not, these are not businesses that are going to turn in 6 months and generate the margins that we all want to see to be able to survive and reinvest, right? You have to give it time. You got to continue to invest. And if you do your homework early by choosing the right location, the right services, having the right people managing and give everybody a great experience when they come in through your doors, the return will come.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I one of the things that, as you were talking about that caught my attention is that the services and that strategy certainly has evolved a little bit, right? Because the needs of the community have changed. The payer mix changes a little bit. So your strategy has to be somewhat dynamic, but you also have to stay true to what the needs are and then how you're meeting those needs as that continues to evolve. Jeff, I think a lot of organizations, as they move forward with the strategy, that's the part where they feel like, well, it's either not working or they choose to pivot or kind of derail the strategy, if you will. And it sounds like with University of Chicago Medicine and certainly with what you've been able to do with Ingalls, staying true to that has really helped.
It has. It's generated significant returns for everybody. I think it's also important to realize investments like this are really positioning organizations to succeed under value-based care. Having these integrated services in one location makes it much easier for the primary care provider to manage patients with chronic diseases. It also allows you to set up delivery systems on a low-cost ambulatory basis that can provide high quality care to some of the more costly events that you need to not only have good outcomes on, but you need to prove to payers that you can deliver in a more cost-effective manner. At one of the family care centers, you can do a mammography, you could diagnose breast cancer, you can do a biopsy at the same location, and then there's the various modes of cancer treatment that you can do right there at a cost that's less than half of the cost of an inpatient setting. And this is by world-class oncologists from the University of Chicago.
Michael, we have a lot of our listeners who are healthcare leaders, certainly medical group leaders and putting together strategies and so forth. If they're thinking about expanding their medical group strategy or an ambulance, building a similar network as to what Ingalls has done and University of Chicago Medicine, what pieces of advice would you offer?
Yeah, I like to think always longer term, right? These are not short-term investments that are going to give you the return that you want in 6 months or a year or two. So you always want to have a long-term view where the community is, where the community is going, understand the dynamics, even, you know, get involved locally with the development of the communities to understand where the future and make the investment. I think the basics around any type of consumer-driven type of investment apply to healthcare too.
And understanding the needs of the community is absolutely key. Staying true to that strategy, but having it evolve, I think is a critical point.
Yep. I mean, you know, University of Chicago, this is outside of Ingalls, just the University of Chicago Health System is just about to open an incredible facility in Northwest Indiana. This is about geographically expanding out beyond Illinois with just a gorgeous facility that's going to open in the end of April. And it's another example of what was done similarly 40 something years ago at Ingalls. Now it's happening as part of the greater University of Chicago Health System to serve a growing community in Northwest Indiana.
Right. And how you've been able to build on that strategy over time. That's incredible. So real quick, Jeff, just a last question for you. As you think about the strategy now and looking at where healthcare is going, you mentioned value-based care, you mentioned the level of reimbursement. What's the next generation of medical group strategy look like?
I think the next generation of medical group strategy is really finding a way to deliver healthcare that's convenient, that's low cost, and that's getting really good quality outcomes. So it's paying attention to what consumers need. It's pushing all of the services out into the community, closer to where the patient lives. But because so much of our patient base is paid somewhat on a risk basis, we've also got to constantly pay attention to how are we managing that risk.
That's great. I'll tell you. Well, again, gentlemen, congratulations. Wonderful success story. Special congratulations to you, Michael. You're doing a great job running the organization. Look forward to following it along and certainly the expansion that University of Chicago Medicine is taking as they build the strategy. Again, to our listeners, thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And until the next insight, I am Daniel Marino, bringing you 30 minutes of value to your day. Take care.
Are you at a crossroad with value-based care? Do you need to chart a future strategy or improve your organizational performance? Visit us at luminahp.com to learn more about our consulting services and leadership development programs. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter on our website and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. For more information about value-based care insights, visit the program's page on healthcareradionow.com or luminahp.com. Join the conversation using our hashtag VBCInsights. We are Lumina Health Partners. Thank you for joining us today. Until the next value-based care insight, stay well.